Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Under his wings, I'm safely abiding. Though the night deepens and the tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Reading once again the letter of the Lord Jesus to the church at Sardis. We read it a number of times, but want to consider it once more today, along with the messages that God has given to the churches. All of them were for each church as they needed them, and all of them have an application to us as well. Listen to these words as we find them in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received, and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray that God will give us an ear, give us right thinking so we may understand these words for them in history as they were given at that time, and for ourselves as well. We may well be in this place described here, that the church has a name that it lives in is dead. I had a letter from a person that was offended because some people are saying this isn't a Christian nation. And he wanted to sign, have our name signed that we would say it was. I'm not so sure that we can really say we are a Christian nation. We have been, much more than we are today, but we are a nation that is very wicked, killing our unborn. Our homes are broken. We do not acknowledge God as Creator. We certainly do not acknowledge His holy law. And in all of that, how can we be Christian? If we do not know these things that are guilt before them, we have not come before God guilty, we have not come to Christ as lost sinners, and then we are not in the place either where we are ready to follow Him, being Christians. Let's pray that God will teach us so we will know the application of these words and the blessing as well, promised. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in His name for all that has been given. First of all, Thy giving Him, so loving the world that Thou dost give Him, Thine only begotten Son. Help us and others to know that He is Thy Son, that He is the fulfillment of the promises given before Adam and Eve, to Abraham, to David, and other prophets writing of Him, especially Isaiah, writing of Him as in His suffering, and also that He would in the end of that see the travail of His soul being raised from the dead, and now on Thy right hand, waiting and expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. We give thanks, Father, for any and all of us who have been His enemies and have been made His footstool, that we learned we were enemies to Thee, Father, and to Christ, enemies to the way of righteousness, enemies to the truth. And we give thanks for bringing us to repentance. And we pray that Thou wilt again bring those who are Thy children to repentance anew, that we might be revived in a knowledge of sin and knowledge of righteousness, revived in love and obedience as well, and that the church will once again be a salt and a light in this nation and throughout the world. Every nation may have that blessing. We pray, Father, that we might recognize our sin as those at Corinth did, coming to a godly sorrow and repenting. We pray that we might hear this message rightly today, and that we may not go on without confessing Christ in a right way, and then, if not, being blotted out of that book of life, as Thou, Lord Jesus, did warn here. We pray for Thy blessing on every nation. We pray it not only for our own, we pray it especially for the nations at war, that peace might come through the gospel, through the believing of it. It is Thy power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We pray, Father, for Thy blessing also on those who need temporal blessings, those in sickness and injury and sorrow, old age, lonesomeness, the broken homes. We need Thee, Father, in the workplace, in the schools, in our government. We pray that Thou wilt put Thy fear in our leaders, that we may continue to lead a quiet and peaceable life in this nation, and that it might return to that in other nations where there is terrible strife. We pray, Father, for Thy blessing in nature, giving the sunshine and the rain when it is needed. We give thanks for Thy blessing as we have experienced it in years past, and we pray for those who have not, where they are now in famine. We pray for those that are homeless. Pray for those that are suffering for Thy name's sake and persecution. In all of this, Father, look on us and others through Christ. And now we pray that Thou wilt teach us because of Him and through Him. Amen. As we continue in this, believing it is very applicable for us, but also that at any time God can turn us. Anytime He can bless us. Anytime He can use this word to make us see our guilt. And we are guilty in many ways, more than I can mention at the present time. And I don't just care to mention the sins of others. All of us can be taught of God and need to be taught of God. And when we are taught of God, there will not be a denying it. We will not excuse it. We will not think we were born with it. It's true in one way, we are all born in sin. As David said, "And sin did my mother conceive me." And all of us are guilty in Adam's sin, that as he sinned, mankind fell and became dead in sin. And that's where our great problem lies, that we sin but don't realize it and don't know it. Strangely, we can often see it in others, even to the extreme, sometimes worse than it actually is, but in ourselves less. We have the example of the political parties. They see no good in the other party, and each one believes the other is very, very wrong. They're right about each other that they're wrong, but none of them are right about themselves that they are right. We are living in serious and sad, terrible times, having a name that we live and are dead. First of all, in relationship to God and Christ, but even as well when we come to the faith of our fathers. We think we're going to return this nation to good ways, but we don't seem to really realize what they are. Jeremiah says, "Return to the old paths." Do we know them? Do we want them? The old paths of God's Word as Creator, Sustainer, Lawgiver, Redeemer. We need that. It needs to be preached, needs to be believed. We need to be doers of the Word as well as hearing it. And this church had that, we can be sure. All these churches had their beginning. The letter is to the churches and these different places. And now they have come to a place where they are failing. This one, for the most part, was in that way. There were those, as we saw in previous weeks, says some things ready to die. It also says that there's a few names in Sardis that have not defiled their garments and that will walk with Christ in white. And then the promise, as we began to see it last week, in the fifth verse, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his angels." We mentioned Paul as an example of that. It can be done. It has been done. It was done with the Corinthians. And repeating again what we said last week of Paul, we should overcome in ourself. We are told this, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment." As if we do it, we will receive it. But Paul, being a good example for us, he knew that he did not yet attain to what he had been apprehended for. He knew also that all his righteousnesses were, certainly as Isaiah said, filthy rags. He called it a pile of dung. And he said, writing to the Philippians, not only that he had not attained that for which he had been apprehended, but he said he looked to Christ. He said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." He also stated, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And then another time, "When I am weak, then am I strong." Paul knew his weakness. He questioned himself. He confessed. And then he looked to Christ and said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." Yes, Paul was one that knew how to overcome, and he knew that it had to be in Christ. He knew that Christ had promised that to those that did overcome, that they would be clothed in this white raiment. And Paul, to a certain extent, had that as much as anybody before, but he still wanted more. He especially wanted more in sanctification. He wanted more in power. And we can see him as a good example in many ways. He counted not only his own righteousness, he had been blessed in the place he was born. He had been blessed in having the law of God, blessed in being circumcised, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, all of that. But he says, I count it all but dung, that I might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Take a note, here and in many other places, he speaks of the faith of Christ. It is both of Christ and in Christ. If we are to have a faith right in Christ, on him, it'll be of him. He will teach us, and he will be the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's why I believe Paul writes to these different churches, and he says, the faith of Christ. That's what he lived by. When he wrote to the Galatians, he said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. All of that was based on, as he wrote to the church at Corinth and said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He wrote in that letter many of their sins, but along with it, he gave the answer that he had given them in the past, and it was the answer for the present and for the future. Always, that's the message. The gospel, Christ dying for our sins. That had to be known here at Sardis, and for them to overcome, it would be through Christ, through the knowing of his death. And as we can read in the book of Revelation, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That gives us power. That is God giving Christ power in us, as well as Christ's death for us. His death for us brings us to justification. His power in us brings us to sanctification. And this is what we need. And Paul could say to that church at Corinth later that they had overcome. You can read of it in that second letter that he wrote to them. And then the seventh chapter speaks of both their repentance, their godly sorrow, and then that they had cleared themselves in this matter. They had become overcomers. All of that is what we need today as a reviving in the church. Whether we want to call it a repentance or whether we want to call it an increase in obedience and doctrine, all of it is necessary. And all of it is really connected together, all part of the whole. And thankfully, God does it all. And we need to pray for that. But when God does it, he does it through teaching us his word. He does it through faith. And as well as we have the faith of Christ, God also tells us by the pen of Paul that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. All of these things, as I just said a moment ago, come together. All of it must be believed together. One of the reasons there's such separation in the church is too often we only believe one part. We probably exaggerate on some things and minimize on others. We need the whole of God's word. We need the whole of God's way. Even when we take these letters to the churches, these seven different churches, we can learn from each one of them. Each one has a message to us. Each one is given here, as God tells us by Paul writing to Timothy, all scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. These letters are now part of Scripture, part of what God gave us by the Holy Spirit inspiring different ones to write the Scriptures. And this particular one is written by John, the Lord Jesus telling John to write to these churches and writing it. It's preserved for us here today. And with that promise, not only he will be clothed in white raiment, a little bit later we read the letter to the church at Laodicea, and there Christ states to them, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. There Christ says, buy it of me. we can come to Christ buying, without money, without prices. Isaiah already said, we can come asking, we can come confessing. When we want white raiment, we have to confess the filthy garments that are there. And sadly, sometimes the filthy garments of self-righteousness, harder to be seen than many other ways of sin, many outward sins. It is a very deceitful way. Pride is very deceiving. But the warning in Scripture is that pride goes before a fall. We will not overcome, but we will be defeated. If we come in pride, we will not have God's help. God tells us by Christ, Peter, by James, all through the Scripture, as well as what we mentioned earlier from the writings of Proverbs, that God resists the proud. He goes against them. They receive no help. And for one thing, when we are in pride, we don't know we need help. We don't ask for it. We are like these Laodiceans, thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But Christ says, you don't know, you're poor, wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. That isn't written here to this church at Sardis, but it was true of them as well. When they have a name that they live and are dead, we don't know if they said that of themselves, we are the church at Sardis, we are a good church, we are one of the better churches. They gave themselves that name. We're not exactly sure what Christ meant when he said, thou hast a name that thou livest. Very likely we can think of it, or very possibly we can think of it, as a church that had its beginning some years before and now was continuing, but had not continued in the right way. We saw in previous weeks how they had to remember how they had received and heard. We can say that when we think of the church as a whole. We can think of what the church was given, but our pilgrim forefathers, that which they were willing to suffer for and come to this country suffering terrible hardship for a place of freedom to worship God in truth, a place for their children. What are we leaving to our children but debt? And the horrible, horrible happenings in our nation, more and more, like the time of the judges, every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. It's everybody against their brother in the home, in government, throughout the nation. Sadly, too often in the workplace, not being thankful one for another, not loving our neighbors ourselves. All of that is part of what we need to overcome in every area of life, every day, every hour, thought, word, and deed. Just like John the Baptist said, to each one that said, what must we do? He told them. He told the soldiers. He told the publicans. He told others. All of them together, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Change your ways. Don't just say you have a name. Think of that name which is above every name, above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus, and our great need of why he was given the name of Jesus. Because he shall save his people from their sins. He said here, through John, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He had spoken those words already while he was here on earth. He said, as recorded in Matthew, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And there he also adds the warning. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So here we need to come to acknowledge that name. We need to acknowledge it like Paul did, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may have his righteousness that was procured on the cross by his death and shedding of his blood. Paul was willing to confess that to the church, his own need as an apostle, but knowing that he was a sinner, that needed that righteousness of Christ. And that's what Christ is telling John to write here to this church. To him that overcometh, he'll be clothed in that white raiment. We can read of that different places. We can read of it further in the book of Revelation, of that host that no man could number. And when someone said, whence came these? He said, they came out of great tribulation. Some people want to say, well, that's the whole body of Christ, the whole body of the church through all the ages. But I'm not so sure about that. We have here in Revelation chapter 7, the listing of 12,000 of each of the tribes of Israel called. And then it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb. Yes, they were confessing Christ, and Christ had confessed them. And when one of the elders says, whence came these that are arrayed in white robes? He said, thou knowest. He said to me, they are they which came out of great tribulation and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We don't like to ask for tribulation, but if we could have tribulation and have our robes washed white in the Lamb, how much better than to have a name that we live and are dead. Dead in sin. And many are. We cannot see it as a nation, our own sin. States don't see it, the city don't see it, the government doesn't see it. They see it all in others and exaggerate. We're like Paul spoke of himself before he was regenerated. He says, hateful and hating one another. We are there. It's terrible. Over and over. And I won't mention further the details of it, but you know it, I know it. It's everywhere. And it's getting worse. Twice this week I heard of it. And we need to do what the Lord Jesus said to this church, overcome it, recognize it, and overcome it, or we'll destroy both ourself and others, the present generation and the future. Look to Christ who speaks here to all of us.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.